VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. And ladies and gentlemen, we trust you'll really stay tuned and pay attention to the information that we share today, because it is very counterculture. And not only is it counterculture, but in some cases, even counter to church culture as well. You know, so often we hear the mantra, born that way. It's proclaimed by some, especially by those espousing LGBTQ+, that a person who is following the homosexual way of life or the transgender lifestyle is born that way, and that we should offer full acceptance of, and I quote, of who they are. Well, sadly, there are even churches that become all accepting of the lifestyle choices rather than to see the deception and the bondage that are created by these choices. The acceptance of such behavior also flies in the face of Scripture, which describes multiple acts, including homosexuality, and as it says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, today we're going to hear the testimony of one that was gender confused and fully engulfed as a homosexual and transgender prostitute. His lifestyle choices actually put him on his deathbed with full-blown AIDS. But ladies and gentlemen, his life has been transformed. Today we welcome to Crosstalk David Arthur, as we mentioned, a former homosexual transgender prostitute, transformed by the power of the gospel. He directs I Belong Amen Ministries, an outreach ministry designed to bring God's truth in love to a lost and dying world. David, welcome here to Crosstalk.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's good to be here.
David, I'm going to give you the bulk of time here because we are limited on time, but I want our listeners today to hear your story, had opportunity to hear you share in part your testimony recently, and want to have you share your testimony of what led you into such a lifestyle, how involved were you in that lifestyle, and how your life has been transformed. So let me just turn the microphone over to you and have you begin here at the beginning.
You know, in the beginning, my father committed suicide. He did so just before I was born.
And David, I need to have you talk real close into the mouthpiece of your phone because I'm already losing you here.
In the beginning, my father, he committed suicide. And, you know, it was a very, I mentioned this because it's very important, because I grew up without a father. And so me being without a father, I was seeking and searching for that male affirmation. I was always looking for male affirmation. And there was a few things that I kind of recognized in the last month even, is that as I grew up, I grew up in a house of women. So I grew up watching the women. And so when I would see my mother with her boyfriend, or my aunt with her boyfriend, and I would see how they acted and the attention that they received from men, that struck a chord with me. And so I figured, well, maybe if I started acting like that, I could get that kind of attention too. And it just so happened that I did get that attention. It was negative attention, but attention is attention to a child. And so I was molested as a child by a few different men. And during this time, I associated that negative attention with the male affirmation, the male confirmation, the love that I was looking for. So this is all I knew. And I also recognized that the more feminine I acted, the more attention I received. So there was two times that I spoke to God, Jim, as a child. And the first time was to pray and say, Lord, please let me wake up and be the girl that I'm supposed to be. And the second time was me shaking my fist up at him and saying, well, why did you do this to me? Why didn't you let me be a girl? And that started off my childhood. And it got to the point where I was going out looking for males, looking for men or boys to engage in that activity with. I was looking even to be molested as a child because I longed for that male attention. It's something that is just within a boy. He needs, he desires that male attention. He needs it.
Well, what's your age at that time, David?
Well, the first was probably around 5 or 6. And by the age of 8 or 9 years old, I was out there looking for it.
Hmm.
By the age of 12, 13, I had found drugs and alcohol. And at the age of 13, I overdosed on pills. By the age of 14, I was a runaway, a homeless runaway, transgender, confused prostitute on the street. I was selling my body at the age of 14 on the streets of Philadelphia. And if I wasn't selling it or giving it away, I was trading it for drugs or even for a place to stay sometimes. And worse yet, at the age of 14, I was HIV positive.
Hmm.
Now, this just set me in a total spiral, down spiral, because I just didn't care anymore. All I desired to be was the best hooker I could possibly be. And for a teenager, that's not a good mindset. And for a teenager that is told by their peers, other transgenders and homosexuals, well, don't worry about having HIV because the person that gave it to you didn't care, so don't you care who you give it to. And as a matter of fact, take out as many as you can. So all the anger that I had within me, I directed at every single person I engaged in sexual activity with. So as I grew up throughout my teen years, I was in and out of juvenile detention. And then as a young adult, I was in and out of county facilities, county jails. And then as an adult, I went to prison. And my second time in prison, my second bit in prison, I met a correctional officer. And I tell you what, I was living on female hormones for many, many years at that point. And here I am, a man, in a man's prison. I have breasts. I look like a woman. And I'm on the rec yard trying to be the center of attention because that's usually what it's all about. It's all about being the center of attention and receiving as much attention as you can. So I'm on the rec yard cheerleading for the men playing basketball. And this correctional officer looks at me and he calls me over and he says, what's your name? And I told him my girl name, and he said, no, what's the name that your mother gave you? And I said, well, I said, that would be David. And he said, well, David, he said, I want you to know that God did not create you to be this way. And I looked at him, and I was prideful and arrogant, and I had that, well, I was, God made me this way attitude. And I said, of course he did. Look at me. I do this well. He said, no. He said, he didn't even intend for you to look like this, David. And I'm going to tell you every day that he didn't. And he told me every single day that God did not create me to be that way. He didn't intend for me to look like that. And I'll tell you what, as offended as I was at that truth, as much as I didn't want to hear it, as much as it hurt my feelings as much as I felt violated by his right to speak into my life, within a few weeks, I was seeking that man out on the compound because I knew that there was something different about him. And I knew that without a shadow of a doubt that this man, and this was the first man in my entire life that I ever knew for a fact, without a shadow of a doubt, that he loved me. And he loved me true and pure. And he didn't want anything from me. He didn't want to use me. He didn't want to abuse me. He just wanted to love me, and he wanted me to understand a truth that he had for me. And I understood it. I didn't agree with it, but I understood it.
And he said, David, that now you were going through taking hormonal treatments and so forth during this time?
From the age of 14 and on, I was taking female hormones.
So when this correctional officer said that to you initially, and I want to underscore this, you were offended by that.
Oh, I was very offended. It felt like my automatic reaction wanted to be, well, why are you so hateful? You know, why are you judging me? You can't judge me. Don't do that. But I just looked at him and pridefully and arrogantly, I said, of course he did. Look at me. I do it well. You know, because to me, it's all about the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about anything that's internal or anything that, like he was explaining to me, what God created me to be, what he intended for me to be, you know. And so, yes, I was very offended, you know, because the truth is offensive if you don't live in the truth. That's the only time the truth is offensive. And I know this. And I've been offended by the truth many times.
So he said he was going to remind you of this every day. Did he do that?
He did. He told me every day. If he didn't work in my dorm gym, he would actually call the officers in mine and have them send me to his dorm. And I would just walk in the door. He'd say, do you know that God didn't create you to be this way? Now you can go back to your dorm. And it was that persistence, that insistence on being just blunt and bold and truthful that broke down my wall, because I knew that here was a man that he didn't want anything from me. He didn't want to profit off me. He didn't want to hurt me. He didn't want to use me, nothing. He just wanted to love me. And that's what he did. And, you know, and I know that he planted a seed and he watered it every chance he got. But let me go back real quick to my teenage years, because it's very important. That when I started feeling like I wanted to be a girl, or I was supposed to be a girl, and when I started identifying as a girl, my mother, who was not a Christian, my mother, just by the very nature of being a mother, said to me, I had a son. I did not have a daughter. You will not come to my home dressed like a woman. You will not wear makeup in my house, and you will not be taking any hormones in my home. And so I ran away. But it was that hard, tough love, because, you know, and I know now that if my mother would have embraced it, if my mother would have embraced that, and I can't say lifestyle, that death style, then I wouldn't be here today. If she would have embraced it, I wouldn't be here today. Wow. I'd be gone, spiritually and physically.
But you had a mother that cared and spoke the truth to you as well, as did that correction officer. And, David, we're just seconds away from a break, so we're going to pick up with your story here right after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today with David Arthur. As a former homosexual and transgender prostitute, his life transformed by the power of the gospel. And hearing his story today on Crosstalk, we're going to be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, today's a heavy topic. Is there a scientific explanation for suicide bombers?
Chris, our world today is on edge because of a suicidal terrorist. Since evolution claims to be a theory of everything, there must be an evolutionary explanation for even this self-destructive behavior. And sure enough, some evolutionists are now saying that suicidal tendencies are a variation of an evolutionary adaptation that was previously useful in some evolutionary sense. Creationists just stand back and wonder how they can be so misguided, so deceived. The Bible says that man was created initially in a very good state, in the image of God. Yet when Adam rebelled against God's order, creation was permanently distorted, and now we live in a world dominated by sin's ruinous effects. Chris, so you see, what began back in Genesis continues today, even with suicidal bombers.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. David Arthur is our guest today, sharing his testimony from transgender to transformed. David, we're going to pick up with that corrections officer. You're in prison. You told us already that you had contracted HIV, and you were even told take out as many people out as you can. And this is the background. You're in prison at this time. Pick up your story at that point, if you would.
Okay, and you know the correction officer, he offended me with the truth, and it was the truth that got me to thinking. And so I remember, I was pretty close to getting released, and I remember sitting on a brick wall, and I remember another homosexual coming up to me and saying, what's wrong with you? And I said, I've spent so many years and years giving, and I've been with so many men, I've given so many men a chance, literally thousands of men in my life. I said, that I've given myself to. I said, but there's one man I've never given a chance. And he said, who? And I said, Jesus. And he looked at me and he said, oh, you're crazy. You're just, because you're getting ready to go home, you're just losing it. And so he walked away, but I really started thinking about that. And I'd love to say, Jim, that when I got out of prison that everything was peaches and cream. And I went, you know, I started living this amazing saved life, but I didn't, and I just like a dog, I returned to my vomit, and I returned to my old ways, and there was a big difference, though, because once I got out of prison, I no longer felt comfortable dressing like a woman. I no longer felt comfortable putting on makeup, and now I like to look back at that now and see that that was God starting to cause an increase, but I had to spend some time getting comfortable living as David again, and so that's how I picture those years. But you know,
let me just interrupt you there, David. So was it in prison that you placed your trust in Jesus as Savior?
No, it wasn't.
Okay,
it was
okay.
It
so
wasn't.
We'll have you lead us up to that time. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, no, it wasn't. I really just kept seeking this man out, this correctional officer, while I was in prison because mm-hmm. of the attitude that he and the love that he had for me.
Okay,
and so he, while he was watering, I was getting what I was looking for, which was that attention and love from him. But I was also being fed. So now I'm out of prison. And I return to my ways. It's just that I'm not dressing as a woman. I'm no longer putting on makeup and wearing women's clothing. And so now I'm just a man. And so I'm just living the homosexual life. And I'm still going to the clubs and engaging in all the sexual activities that I can and spreading HIV to anybody, to everybody, intentionally, purposely, even the ones that ask me, you know, if I was healthy, me saying, don't I look healthy? And so I was trying to do just that, take as many people out as possible. And so by 2008, I was stricken down with osteoporosis, and it was so severe that I couldn't stand up straight and I couldn't walk without a walker. And that was due to all of the female hormones, all the clothes, wearing the clothing that wasn't designed for a man's body, the shoes, the trauma I put my body through.
What is your age at this time?
I'm early to mid 30s.
Okay.
Actually mid 30s, because I was 37 when I in 2009. But let me tell you, Jim, being hunched over, dragging myself around on a walker still didn't stop me from satisfying the lusts of my flesh. It still didn't stop me from going to the clubs and to the orgies and to the casinos and to the bar and everywhere else. It still didn't stop me. But what stopped me was in 2009, I was diagnosed with full-blown AIDS.
Hmm.
And I had infections in my brain and infections in my blood that were fighting their way out of my body by way of boils. And I don't just mean a bump here and there. I mean like Joe boils, like huge boils all over my body. And all this infection trying to get out, I was always running a fever because of all the infection. The doctor sent me home to die, and they told me, you don't even have to take this HIV medicine anymore because there is no hope. So Here I am. They put a hospital bed in my bedroom. They put hospice in place. I'm told to make my arrangements. And here's my mom trying to figure out in her head how she's going to make her baby's arrangements while I'm laying in this bed waiting to die. But I'll tell you, while I laid in that bed, I knew two things. I was afraid to die, petrified of death, because I didn't want to go to hell. And I knew I was going to hell. There was no doubt in my mind that after all I had done to all the people I had done it to, that I was going to hell. Because I was not living even a good or an okay life, mm-hmm. let alone a godly life. And so as I lay on this bed waiting to die, I picked up the Word of God. I picked up the Bible, and I opened it up, and the very first verse that I read was Romans 1:27. And it said that men burning in lust for one another, giving up the natural use of the woman. And that verse hit me like a ton of bricks, Jim. It said, not only am I living sinfully, but I'm living unnaturally. And I'm in direct opposition to God's very intent for me. And then I hear the correctional officer, his voice in my head. I told you God didn't create you to be this way, David. Didn't I tell you? And I just, from that point on, I just started diving deeper into the Word. And I always tell people that when I was gay, Jesus gave me a straight answer in Mark 1:11 when he said, the time has been fulfilled and the kingdom of God draws near. Repent and believe in the gospel. That was the straight answer to my gay question for Jesus at that very moment.
Amen.
And so I started repenting, and I repented for weeks. I gave it all to him. I wanted to be just as precise and direct and to him as his word was to me. And I said, oh, Lord, you can just hear me. Because you know what, Jim? I wasn't calling out to him saying, please save me or please heal me. I knew, I totally knew and accepted that I was dead. I was going. I didn't have... There wasn't nothing else. I knew that my life was over, but I just didn't want to go to hell. That was it. I just didn't want to go to hell. And so I repented. I gave it all to him, and I spent weeks doing this, and I'm in excruciating pain. I'm on all kinds of pain medications from morphine to Oxycontin to oxycodone, hydrocodone, street drugs, everything, because the pain was so intense. I wake up this one morning in more pain than I'd been in, but I was so confused because as much pain as I was in, I was thinking clearly, and I knew that I had joy in my heart. I knew I had joy. There was no doubt that I had joy in my heart, and I was confused because I didn't understand it. But I just knew two things. I knew that I was not going to hell, and I knew that I was no longer afraid to die. And it wasn't David that knew it. It was just within me. It was the Holy Spirit of God that gave me that peace. And for the first time in my life, I knew what rest meant. And I looked up, and I cried out to God, and I said, Lord, please take me. Please take me home. I do not want to be like this. I don't want to live like this. I don't want to feel like this, and I don't want to look like this. Please take me home. And I said, but I just have one request, that through my death, that you can be glorified, that through my death, at least one person that I have been able to talk to in the last few weeks will see you or get to know you through my death. And whether it be my mom, whoever, but please, somebody, just let you be glorified through my death, because I did not live for you. I lived against you. I did everything in my own power to oppose you. So please, just let you be glorified in my death.
David, God had other plans for you.
Oh, hallelujah. He did. From that moment on, I started feeling better. And within a few days, I was getting up out of bed. And I was standing up straight, and I'm using just a cane instead of the walker that I'd used for over a year at that point. And then a couple days, no cane. And then I'm walking around the house, and honestly, people were looking like, they were thinking like, this is the last burst of energy. He's checking out any minute. And surprise, the nurses came out to the house, and they drew my blood. And then my nurse practitioner called me and said, David, you know, I'm glad that you're doing so well. Can you come in for these results? Because I'd like to talk to you. And honestly, you know, I always think, oh, it's always something. And so I automatically think negative, that it's something bad. I go into the office, and she says to me, David, she says, Dr. Z is not coming into this office because he has no scientific explanation to give you for what's happening to you. And I said, well, what's happening to me? And she said, with a viral load as high as yours, which we've never seen in this office, only in textbooks, she said, but this is almost impossible. She said, it's a medical miracle. She said, because you're now undetectable. And I said, well, what does that mean? And she says, it means that we can't detect the viral load in your system. And I said, so what does that mean? Does that mean I'm negative? And she said, well, no. She said, scientifically, once positive, always positive. She said, but David, your T cells, which is your immune system, which was zero just a month before, she said was higher than ever. She said it was that of a normal person. She said, honestly, David, and she was a Christian. She said, honestly, David, this is a medical miracle, and this is just God, and do you want to pray? And so we prayed, and I tell you what, Jim, I was diagnosed with chronic depression, PTSD, anxiety, bipolar, and sleeping disorder. I was on like five or six, maybe seven different psych meds at one time, and I knew at that time that all of those things, and I'm not advocating anybody to stop taking their medications, but I knew for me at that very moment that I didn't need them because the depression, the anxiety, the bipolar, the sleeping disorder, they were all symptoms and results of being in the world.
David Arthur, our guest, we're going to take a quick break and come back to more of the story here on Crosstalk today, from transgender to transformed. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
There is no heartache equal to that of losing a loved one to suicide. Unanswered questions, despair, and perhaps self-blame can leave those behind with feelings of hopelessness. But true hope and help can be found in Christ alone. In the booklet Hope Beyond Despair, author Julie Gossick shares from personal experience how the truth of Scripture and the hope of the gospel can bring comfort to those who are living in the aftermath of suicide. She addresses what the Bible has to say on this issue and provides a lasting hope based on biblical principles. The book Hope Beyond Despair is available from VCY for a donation of $6 or three copies for a donation of $15. Just ask for Hope Beyond Despair when you call with your gift at 1-800-729-9829. You may also write VCY America, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. David Arthur is our guest today on the broadcast, sharing his testimony from transgender to transformed. Certainly a powerful testimony of deliverance from a sexually perverted life, including homosexual and transgender prostitution, drug addiction, things we didn't even talk about, gambling and alcohol and so much more, but was he was on his deathbed with full-blown AIDS and infections in his brain, infections in the blood, severe osteoporosis, and many other medical maladies as well, but trusted Christ as Savior and felt something not only changed in his spiritual body, but in his physical body as well, David, that you went off your medications because there was not a need for those any longer.
Absolutely correct. I knew at that moment that everything that I had suffered from, what they were calling diseases, I knew they were just symptoms and results of being in the world, and I was no longer of this world, and I no longer needed them. And so I just pressed on, and I moved on, and I haven't been better since. You know, I haven't even felt better since. And so from that moment, and that was the end of 2009, up until now, there's, you know, because my testimony wasn't over in 2009, and the testimony just keeps on going. You know, I mean, I've just been doing outreach, and just God has just been opening doors and shutting doors and taking some doors off the hinges and just giving me the opportunity to actually to speak out and speak truth, but to do it in love. Because I love, and that's only possible because he first loved me, you know. And so, and that's all I want to do. My only heart's desire is to bring truth to a lost, dead, and dying world. Because there's so much going on, and there's so many people out there right now that they don't know. There's a lot of people that are seeking freedom because they know they're living in sin. But there's a lot of people that don't know that there is freedom from their sin because they don't know they're living in sin, because they've been taught and told and indoctrinated to believe that they're born that way, created that way, that it's who they are and what they are. And they just think that life is just miserable, and they don't realize that it's not, that life's not miserable. Bondage is miserable. And so once you open up their eyes to them and let them know that they're living in bondage and they start seeing it, then there's freedom for them. Then they can come out of that darkness, because now they recognize that they are in bondage. They recognize the bondage, and they recognize that there's freedom from that bondage. And that's all I'm commissioned to do.
Amen. Amen. David, so often we are told that unless we are affirming of these lifestyle choices of those who are directing themselves into the homosexual lifestyle or patterns of living as a transgender, we know we cannot change being male to female or vice versa, but we're told that unless one is loving and accepting, that this causes those who that are in this lifestyle to be depressed and suicidal, and so therefore we're the philosophy of the world today, you must be affirming of that. Don't try and, you know, don't try conversion therapy. Don't try and have somebody change from that lifestyle. You have to be affirming of it. What do you say to that mentality today? Is that what causes suicide and depression and drug abuse by those entrapped by this lifestyle? Or is it
It's actually just the opposite. If we look, people tell me all the time, but look at the suicide rate of the LGBT youth. And I tell them, look at the suicide rate of Christian youth. You know, because that's the opposite. The opposite is they are still going to remain suicidal, whether they're accepted or not accepted, whether it's affirmed or not affirmed, whether they celebrate it or not. They're still suicidal. They're still depressed. I remember I was laying on a beach with two transgenders that had already had the operation, the full sexual reassignment surgery, and I was just a few months away from the first step, which was castration. And we were talking about it, and they both told me, don't do it. They said, I felt more like a woman then than I do now. I thought that I would find peace and happiness when I had the surgery. And now that I had the surgery, I'm worse off than I was, and I'm more depressed, and I don't want to live.
Wow. David, what is your message to the church today as it relates to this issue?
You cannot affirm, celebrate, or confirm any sin, but if you're not telling them the truth from the threshold, because see, the church, the institutional church is my biggest opposition, because they don't want me to offend nobody. But see, this message and this truth, the truth isn't just for the lost. The truth is for the saved as well, because there's a whole lot of saints that come up to me afterwards and say, well, thank you, because I'm going to go home and pray for my daughter again. I stopped praying for her and reaching out to her because I thought she was a lost cause or she was born that way. Now I have hope. And so that's what it's about. It's about hope. And if we, as the church, the body of Christ, can't offer hope to the body of Christ and to the lost, then I would just suggest that if we can't, then we're a far cry from the very righteousness by which we've been called.
Our guest today, David Arthur. And David, you now have a ministry called I Belong Amen?
I Belong Amen Ministries, amen.
And your website?
Is ibelongamen.com.
Mm-hmm. And we tell us about your ministry here.
Okay, we're on Facebook. And what I do at this time is I travel. I travel around. I get to go places to speak truth. And, I mean, the next thing that we have coming up is the Occupy Conference in Canton, I believe, Canton, Ohio, April 20th through 22nd, and Occupy2018.com. I'm going to be on in a lineup with some amazing speakers. I mean, I'm kind of baffled in my head how I even got here.
But so what you do is you're going out now in various venues and sharing your testimony of conversion, basically from transgender to transformed.
Absolutely. Because mm-hmm. You know what? There are a lot of people who are going to argue, well, no, I was born this way. And so I've kind of given up on that argument, and I let them know, well, look, you know what? If you really believe you're born that way, it's so easy. Jesus said, be born again. You know, if you really believe that that's who you are and what you are, Jesus said in Luke 9, he said that if anyone is to come after him, that we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. And that's what I do daily. I die to self daily. I lift my cross daily because it's not that I don't struggle, because I struggle. But I don't have to struggle with the struggle. I'm content, I'm safe, I'm secure in the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross. And so I know that I can deal with it, because every time I struggle, it just helps me to stay focused on the cross. You know, and so I know I have to deny self. I know that I had to be born again. And so these are the simplest things that a lot of people say, well, why didn't I think of that? Well, Jesus said it, you know, and at least understand that we're not created that way, you know, that there are two genders. God created one man and one woman so that they could come together and be one flesh. And so two men can't do that, two women can't do that. And I just want to say that we use some terms that if we stopped using these terms, that I think we would be able to educate people a whole lot easier and better. Like, instead of calling it a lifestyle, call it a death style. Instead of using the term bisexual, there's no such term, because there's only the sin of homosexuality and the sin of fornication, and that's it. So homosexuality doesn't exist as an orientation. There's only one orientation, and it was quoted and defined by God from the very beginning of creation as one man and one woman, and it's heterosexuality.
Hmm. Folks, we're going to open our phone lines to give you opportunity. Our time is limited, and our telephone number here to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask or a brief comment to make, our lines are open. Again, time is very limited, so get online right away at 800-733-9829. David Arthur is our guest here today on Crosstalk. He is a former homosexual and transgender prostitute, but transformed by the power of the gospel, and now directs I Belong Amen Ministries. And we'll take your questions or brief comments here this afternoon on Crosstalk. But right now he is out and sharing his testimony of deliverance from these choices into a life now that knows, as Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Let's go to George, who's calling from Olney, Illinois. George, you're on the air.
Yes, I was going to ask David, do you feel like that was demonic possession and that Jesus Christ had delivered you? Because I know that that is violence against yourself and others as far as homosexuality and it's violence. It's part of the fall.
Yeah, you know, absolutely, George, I do believe that. What I do believe is that the homosexual spirit doesn't come alone. I call it legion. And so it doesn't come alone because it always comes with perversion, anger, pride, and many other things. Sometimes the spirit of being effeminate, you know, all different types of sin. It comes with a slew of demons. And so, yeah, I absolutely do believe that it's violence because of all of the anger and all of the hatred that is built up in one person. Because, you know, there was a point in time when I would physically attack you just to prove to you how happy I am.
Wow. And we're limited on calls or time for each call, so we're just going to quickly move on. Israel in Mission, Texas, you're on the air.
Hi. First off, I'd like to thank you for giving your testimony, man. That was really awesome and very inspiring.
Thank you.
And two, I'd like to follow up with this. If an individual, like, you know, within, you know, family members or whatnot that are, you know, in that bondage, how do you recommend to witness to them, you know, when they come around family functions and stuff like that, and even partake in prayer, and but still live that lifestyle? Can you kind of give guidance?
Thank you.
I could say that it's about telling them the truth, standing firm in the truth, and doing it because you love them, which means that you don't tiptoe around their feelings or worry about offending them, because sometimes it takes that harsh offense for somebody to walk out of your life in order for them to discover themselves so that they can come back into your life. But also, I would also suggest, because I've seen it work on more than one occasion, that you pray that the Lord place somebody in that person's life that they will not only see as a peer, but that they will hear and listen to. Somebody that is anointed enough that will minister into their life, because we're not received amongst our own.
Thank you, Israel, for the call. We're going to take a quick break. David Arthur is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and taking your calls at 800-733-9829. His website, IBelongAmen.com. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. Recently, the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination or association in America, elected what they say is the youngest president of their association in their entire history. His name is J.D. Greer. He's a young millennial that is embracing and promoting such things as white privilege and social justice. These are the issues of cultural Marxism. In fact, in his book published in 2011, Gospel, he says that he dedicates the book in part to Tim Keller, stating, quote, "To Tim Keller, whose thinking has so permeated my own that I can no longer really tell where his stops and mine starts." end quote. He also quotes positively in the book none other than Rob Bell, who's known as one of the emergent church leaders who denies essential Christian doctrines. My friends, Paul warns us, I believe, of men just like this who've risen from within, and we're to mark and we're to warn. I'm Brandon House.
David Arthur says, don't call it lifestyle, call it death style, because that's exactly what was going on in his life. He was sent on home, full-blown AIDS, a body weakening in the hospital, and sent him home to die. David realized he did not want to go to hell. He knew what his destination was and became transformed by the gospel. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tom is calling in Fort Scott, Kansas. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to thank you for your guest today. I had a brother die at 39 years old of AIDS. He had been in his 60s now, and I got another a younger brother that was blaming my mother for his choices. And I told him, I said, you don't blame my mother for your choices. It's a sin. It's not a choice. And I thank you for putting him on, because I have been praying for him for a long time, and I need to get back to it. So
thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And David, Tom, indeed, go back to prayer and speaking the truth in love.
Amen.
Let's go to Patty, who's calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Patty, you're on the air.
Hi. I got to tell you, when I first start listening to the testimony on the radio today, I wanted to turn it off because it's such a hard thing to look at. The sin is so great, it's hard to just deal with. And what it reminded me of, when I was a young girl, I was often a runaway. And the places the street people would take me to were the gay clubs, and everybody was celebrating. I could get in when I was younger. They wouldn't card me or nothing. And I seen my first transgender guy. He had breasts and his maleness. And I'm glad I listened to the whole thing, but it's just really a hard subject, and I think that's why people don't know how to deal with it, don't know what to say. It was just really hard for me to listen to, but I'm glad I did.
Thank you, Patty, for your call here today. And again, praise God for the scripture that says, David, such were some of you. And to know the transformation that takes place in her heart and life. What do you say to a parent whose child is going down this pathway, David?
I always tell them almost the same thing, only because I've seen it work numerous times, to pray that the Lord place somebody in their life that they see as a peer and as an equal, that they will not only hear but listen to. You know, I probably couldn't even get into any examples, but mm-hmm. I know that it works. I've seen it how it work, because that's what it takes. It takes somebody from the outside of that person's inner circle or close circle of family and friends to reach them. And it has to be somebody that they see as a peer and as an equal. And that person is going to be anointed by God to minister directly into their life specifically for them. But if we don't tell them the truth in love, when we have the opportunity, instead of beating around the bush, instead of tiptoeing around their feelings, if we don't give it to them raw and bold and firmly, then we may not plant that seed that leads them to the hope of their eternal salvation. Hmm.
Courtney is calling from Miami, Florida. You're on the air, Courtney.
God bless you all today, and God bless you, David. That was a beautiful testimony. I want to know if it's possible. It's a lot of people that have MP3 players. If it's possible to get this program on an MP3, so some of us have burners and we can burn our own MP3 and hand them out to kids going to school and other homosexuals. This is so marvelous to show the power of God.
Amen. Amen.
This is going to save souls. God bless you all, and I hope you can get that because I would love to pass them out and other people too. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney, for your call. And this program will be posted on our website within just a couple hours of airing here, and will be available at crosstalkamerica.com. Thank you. Sharon is calling from Garden Grove, California. You're on the air, Sharon.
Good afternoon. I just have two quick questions for David. And thank you, David, so much for allowing the Lord to use you first, I'd like to say, and I pray that I know he will continue to bless you in your service to him. But the questions are, one, I hear that there is a high percentage of homosexuals who have been molested, as you shared in your testimony, and could you speak to that? And then also, did you ever touch base again with the correctional, the guy, excuse me, in prison, who kept telling you that you weren't, God didn't create you that way?
One, yes, I was molested, and sadly, usually the recruited, as they call it, becomes a recruiter, and sadly, I was guilty of luring some boys into that movement as well, and that's usually how it works, which is why we must keep them out of our school system, and we must make sure that any type of therapy that can lead children away from this death style be legal and be enforced, that there be another choice.
David, I'm losing you on the phone here.
Oh, am I here?
There you go. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, just to keep them out of our schools and to make sure that we go to our city meetings and all that when they try to cut out the reparative therapy and ban it, because it's very important that therapy be available to these young people who are confused by what they're learning in schools. And as to the correctional officer, I don't remember his name. I called him Bishop the whole time, I haven't been in touch with him, but I do know that he knows and that he's pleased, and I look forward to the day when I get to shake his hand and give him a hug, you know, as his brother.
Thank you, Sharon, here for the call, and we are less than 30 seconds left in the program. I don't have time for another call, but let me just give that last half minute to you, David. What do you want to leave with our listeners today?
Just tell them the truth, tell it in love, do it because you love them, and it's only possible because you're first loved by the Lord God Almighty. Amen.
Amen. The website is ibelongamen.com, ibelongamen.com. David Arthur, our guest today from Transgender to Transformed. And David, thank you so much for taking the time to share with our listeners. There is hope, there is love, there is freedom, there's forgiveness. It's found in Jesus Christ. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
David Arthur, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and indeed, share his testimony with others, folks. Indeed, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. God bless you. Thanks so much for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.